The Bay Area is home to one of the largest, most thriving dance communities in the country. We have the largest per capita concentration of dancers in the U.S. The Bay Area is also home to Bay Area Dance Week, an incredible event offering over 600 free events, including classes, performances, rehearsals, and lectures. The event runs through this Sunday. You can find ballet, modern jazz, tango, martial arts, salsa, Hawaiian hula, jazz funk, and so much more. There's something for everyone. On today's Your Call, we will talk about Bay Area Dance Week and how dance brings people together. Join us after the news.
Hello, this is David Austin with the BBC News. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has called off a meeting with the visiting German foreign minister at short notice in a row over his plan to speak to left-wing activists. Mr. Sigmar Gabriel had refused to cancel talks with groups which accuse the Israeli military of war crimes against Palestinians. With more, Tom Bateman.
Mr. Netanyahu's office confirmed that his meeting with Sigmar Gabriel would not go ahead. His officials said the Prime Minister's policy was not to see foreign visitors who meet groups that slander Israeli troops as war criminals. Among the campaign groups Mr. Gabriel was due to meet was Breaking the Silence, an organization of former Israeli soldiers, which says it seeks to expose human rights violations against Palestinians. Mr. Gabriel earlier said that cancelling the meeting with Mr. Netanyahu would be very regrettable.
The UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres says a donor conference to tackle Yemen's humanitarian crisis has been a remarkable success. He said the gathering had secured almost half the total needed for the entire year. Imogen Folks is in Geneva.
The UN asked for $2.1 billion. It now has pledges of just over $1 billion, $178 million of that from the United Kingdom. It is at least a start to feeding millions of malnourished children, supporting hospitals, treating thousands of war wounded, and repairing schools, power and water supplies on the verge of collapse. But money on its own cannot solve this crisis. A massive aid operation requires access. Yemen's main port has been bombed and is partially blockaded by the warring parties.
An 11-year-old boy in Malaysia has had his legs amputated after allegedly being severely beaten by the assistant head teacher at his private religious school. The boy is in a coma and might also have to have his right arm amputated. Celia Hatton reports.
The Malaysian media has been gripped by excerpts said to be from the diary of the abused boy. He's thought to have detailed systematic abuse at his private religious school in southern Malaysia. If one student made an error, the whole group would be punished, he wrote. Police have arrested the teacher and are thought to have CCTV footage of some of the abuse. The school says it's investigating the case, and the government has promised to take a closer look at religious schools, which are exempt from many state inspections.
President Trump is insisting that he still intends to build a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico, though he's indicated he's prepared to wait before seeking federal funds to do it. Mr. Trump has taken to Twitter to say, "Don't let the fake media tell you that I've changed my position on the wall." Democrats say they'll block his request for billions of dollars. His 100th day in office this week will be marked with a government shutdown unless he can agree federal spending plans. World News from the BBC. The French President François Hollande has warned those who oppose the far-right presidential candidate Marine Le Pen of the dangers of assuming she'll be beaten in May's election runoff. Mr. Hollande said every vote had to be earned and fought for. His remarks are being seen as veiled criticism of Ms. Le Pen's rival, the centrist Emmanuel Macron, who's been criticised after celebrating his victory in Sunday's first round at an upmarket Parisian brasserie. Ms. Le Pen called the behaviour arrogant. The head of the European...
Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The 19th annual Bay Area Dance Week kicked off on April 21st in San Francisco at City Hall's Rotunda with a dance party and a flash mob. The 10-day festival gives dance lovers the opportunity to attend more than 600 free events throughout the Bay Area. There are dance classes, workshops, lectures, and free performances in a very wide range of styles. Wayne Hazard, organizer of the Bay Area Dance Week and executive director of the Dancers Group, calls the celebration one of the nation's largest, most joyful and inclusive celebrations of movement and dance. He says this year's program feels more important than ever, offering an opportunity to celebrate our differences by coming together in dance, regardless of cultural background, race, faith, or gender. So how is dance bringing people together and creating community, especially now? Wayne Hazard is executive director of the Dancers Group, an artist-run organization. Dancers Group is an organizer of the Bay Area Dance Week, and Wayne joins me here in studio. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thank you.
Well, great to have you. I love the event. Thank you so much for all the work you put into it.
Thank you. It's our 19th year, so we're excited about that. Next year will be, obviously, 20 comes after 19.
Yeah, it's amazing. 19 years.
It goes quickly. It does. It does.
We're also joined in studio by Deborah Vaughn, artistic director and co-founder of Dimensions Dance Theater, a dance company and school that was founded in Oakland in 1972 to promote the knowledge and appreciation of African-derived dance. Their mission is to create, perform, and teach dance that reflects the historical experiences and contemporary lives of African Americans. Deborah Vaughn is the 2017 recipient of the Della Davidson Prize, which honors the life and work of choreographer and teacher Della Davidson by supporting innovative dance and dance theater artists. Deborah, thank you so much for coming in. I've been wanting to have you on the show. I'm
thank
a big fan of your
me.
Work, mm-hmm. and congratulations on your award.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're also joined by Mehea Lani Ochiuma, founder and director of the Mehea Ochiuma Center for International Dance in Berkeley, a nonprofit that provides a place where students of all ages and abilities can take part in multicultural dance experiences. And Mehea Lani joins me here in studio. Hi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have all of you. I'm so glad we're doing this show because I'm a huge fan of modern dance, and I find myself going to a lot more performances to take a step back and be quiet and just watch something beautiful. And whenever we do shows with artists, especially the last couple of months, I've asked everyone what it's like right now. So I want to ask you all, what is it like to be a dancer and to work in this field in these times? Mehea Lani, let's start with you.
It's been very interesting because much of the population that we work with is, of course, deeply affected by what's going on in this country. And I find that our classes, our gatherings, our events, and the ceremonial work that we do is really focused on centering people and grounding them and being sure that everyone understands that we are still very connected as a community. And the vehicle through which we have this connection is the dance and music that we do. But the underlying foundation is that we are together as community, and that I do believe gives us some strength to get through what we are going through.
And that applies if you're dancing or if you're watching the dance.
That it's right? All the and including the people and the families who people's parents or their husbands or their kids are all considered our community. People who come to our performances, they're our community too. We have our job really is to bring everyone to the same portal, mm-hmm. where we can experience the underlying beauty of what it is that we are trying to achieve. So that's for dancers, the musicians that play for us, their families, everyone who comes.
And Deborah, you founded Dimensions Dance Theater back in 1972.
Yes.
You have been doing this a long time. What has it been like for you to work in this field and to be a dancer right now?
I hung up my tights a few years ago, but I am in the dance world in terms of choreographing and teaching. And for us as an organization, we also work with, we have an adult company. We also have, like, the youth organization. a school, and part of what we do is we look at all of the events that have happened throughout the African diaspora. So sometimes some of the pieces that we do might have to do with history. It may have to do with a particular event. Some of our most recent work, we did a piece called The Town, and basically it was about what was happening in Oakland, how people are being displaced, and what do we do about that? How does that make us feel, and what is our responsibility to, you know, our brothers and sisters here in the city? And very recently, we did a piece to honor the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party, and part of our mission with that piece was to really highlight the positive things. Because most of the people who know about the Panther Party, people, and especially people who are coming into Oakland, are people who don't know the history. Right. They really had a very noble intention, and that was to lift up and protect, you know, their community. So for us, I think that we are at a place and point where artists are pulling together, organizations, institutions are pulling together, to preserve the cultural aspects of our community, because what we realize is that it is on us to preserve the beauty, you know, the integrity, the love, the passion for the work. So that's kind of where we're at, and I think that as Mahia mentioned, those are the things that will help the communities, the artists' communities, just the Bay Area in general, continue to, like, unite.
Mm-hmm. So important. Mm-hmm. What would you add, Wayne?
I think that always coming back to the body is a powerful act, and I think no matter what your practice is, what your tradition is, what your faith is, that the body is a place of respite and a place to find your voice, whether we think sometimes dance is being silent, but it actually is quite loud, has quite a powerful voice, and has a voice that can speak to so many on so many levels. And I think something like Bay Area Dance Week that opens that door to people seeing dance in so many ways, the dance of traditions coming out of Asia, the dance of coming out of the African diaspora, coming out of European traditions, the mix of traditions in terms of what's colliding in terms of dance theater. It's so powerful and so important now, because as we have more and more technology entering our lives, we need more to be back in the body. Mm-hmm. And we see that, and we see the responses to that. And even with the rising cost of living in our region, we still see people moving here and coming to study, and coming to study with masters like Deborah and Mahia and so many others in our community that need that sense of being part of a community. And I think that's what Mahia and Deborah do so well in their work.
The Bay Area is home to the largest per capita concentration of dancers in the United States. There is such a thriving dance community here. If you love dance, you're really lucky to live here. There's performances almost every, multiple performances every week.
Yes.
What are you hearing from your colleagues in the dance community right now about this time we're in and the role that they want to play? Mahia?
Well, there is, in touching on what Dimension's work of the piece Town that was last year, I believe,
right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are feeling the challenge of displacement right now in terms of having a venue in which to do what they do, whether it's the teaching or performing. It's becoming much more difficult than it has ever been. As the area is gentrifying, it's changing, there's more money coming into the area, that money is not necessarily translating into more money for the artists. In fact, the artists are just sort of plugging right along, doing what we do without reaping the benefit mm-hmm. of what's happening elsewhere in the industry. So what I'm hearing a lot, and you know, we've been challenged as well, is just having a secure place to do what we do.
Yeah. Deborah?
Well, we're based in the Malanga Keskellard Center for the Arts, and that building has been a gem for the Bay Area, and we're very blessed to be there. And one of the things that I'm feeling, many of the artists, one of the things that I'm seeing is that people are having to move out of the area. Mm-hmm. And that presents a challenge on several levels. One, if people have to commute 2 hours to get here, then 2 hours to go back home, that becomes like an expense. I think that, so it's challenging for the artists to stay. Many artists are also having to work multiple jobs in order to be here in the Bay Area. So what I see on the positive side is that people love doing what they do. They love doing the work. And we know that love can't sustain us, but it has thus far. And so I think that this is also a time where people are coming together in terms of whatever they do to make art happen, but I think that people are also going inside of themselves and questioning, you know, what is happening and how can they make a difference. And I think that sometimes, you know, dance has been dance for dance's sake, but now I think that it's even more purposeful and meaningful to people who are artists, because people want to, as people go inside, they're exploring what they can do, but I think that they want that voice and those actions to affect people that are audiences, people that are students. So,
Wayne?
We're in a powerful time right now. I think that empower can be seen as, you know, as has been said, good and evil. But the part that I want to speak to, the power that we are in the dance community, is the power and importance of the organizations that have created homes here. We have Patrick Makuakane's Halau, who's just celebrating 30 years. We have other companies that are in their 40s and 50 years, ODC. We have the oldest ballet company in the nation, San Francisco Ballet.
Dance Mission.
We have Dance Mission that's here. We have World Arts West that does the only San Francisco Ethnic Dance Festival, the only one of its kind in the country. I mean, it's like, no, we should have that in every city in the country, mm-hmm. but you know, there's such important work being done here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the work of Dimensions. There's the work that's done in the South Bay at, I'm trying to think of the name, the Bharatanatyam group.
Abhinaya.
Thank you, Abhinaya, who I think they just celebrated 35 years. So I think we're at a place in dance history here that we've never been at before mm-hmm. that is the power we have. Yes, there's the potential of losing space, but we do see funders, we see elected officials, we see many stepping up to try to find and mitigate those times when that might be displacement in our community. We see hopefulness with the young dancers coming in and figuring out they might be living 3 or 4 to a room sometimes,
yes.
Or figuring it out, but they are figuring it out. And does it need to shift and change? Do we need to have more affordable housing? Does there need to be a correction? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And yet I think that we are in a place where we are only going to continue to make vital work, the work that is speaking to community, to purpose, to saying your voice matters, whether it's an aerial dancer on the wall of a building, whether it's a young dancer doing their first piece at the Malanga. There are so many different opportunities happening in this region for people to participate.
You're talking about what's happening at the local level, and then at the national level, you have the Trump administration wanting to completely get rid of the National Endowment for the Arts. And the New Yorker had a headline, Trump's NEA budget cut would put America first, art last. And it's so important to point out that the NEA's budget last year was $148 million. This is 0.003% of the federal budget, 46 cents per capita.
Well, not only the National Endowment for the Arts, they want to get rid of the National Endowment for the Humanities and funding for public broadcasting. I mean, it's really it's silly positioning, and I think that we will fight back about that. There are so many voices out there saying this can't happen. Our society, our country values the arts, that this is really a divisiveness that is taking us away from other important messages, and we will fight back against that.
Wayne Hazard is executive director of the Dancers Group, an artist-run organization. They're organizing this year's Bay Area Dance Week, the 19th annual Bay Area Dance Week. It runs through Sunday, and it's an amazing week of about over 600 events.
Usually people are doing all day. They might have samplers that you can take during a studio that might be 10 or 15 minutes each, the Jewish Community Center or other spaces. So there's so many events that people can still go online to BayAreaDance.org and sign up.
I was just checking today. Just today, you can choose from ballet, modern jazz, tango, martial arts, salsa, Hawaiian hula, jazz funk, and that's just the first half of the list.
Exactly.
So you can either take part and take some classes, or you can go watch dance. There's really something for everyone, and it's all free.
It is all free. It's again, modeled after the idea of what the visual arts community does with open studios, the idea of opening your door, having people walk in and seeing something. Obviously, this would be seeing the body or wanting their body to be seen as well, and then getting people to then come back. So obviously, there is a reason for that, so that they will come back and see a performance of an artist that maybe they saw in the park that they were like, oh, my God, I never knew that I loved Katak dance, or I'd never seen this form before. I never seen somebody roll around on the floor and scream. maybe they have. Maybe they've seen that one.
They may have done it this morning.
Exactly.
We're also joined by Deborah Vaughn, artistic director and co-founder of Dimensions Dance Theater, a dance company that was founded in Oakland in 1972 to promote the knowledge and appreciation of African-derived dance, and Mahea Lani Ochiyama, director of the Mahea Ochiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley, a nonprofit that provides a place where students of all ages and abilities can take part in multicultural dance experiences. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a dance fan, if you're a dancer, we'd love to hear from you. And also, if you want to do a shout out to any of your favorite dance companies and dancers in the Bay Area, in addition to our guests, I will mention Chrissy Kiefer and Dance Mission. They do amazing work. Joe Kreider with Flyaway, and Rodessa Jones. Those are some of my favorites in the Bay Area. We are lucky because we are home to one of the largest, most thriving dance communities in the country. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Just a couple more questions about valuing the work that you all do. Mahea, you spoke recently about what's happening in the Bay Area and how there's just so much opportunity and so much money right now, but where is it being directed? And so what do you think we can do to ensure that society puts more value on the arts? Because the NEA budget is still incredibly small. Mm-hmm. What California spends on the arts is incredibly small.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question, and I do believe that we have to be really just absolute about having people recognize that artistic expression is what makes us human. It's what we can bring to our environment, to our world, that fully connects us one to another. And that in of itself is extremely valuable. Strategically, I think we need to work with the kids. Somehow we've got to be able to appeal to more young people who are growing up in a world where they're not connecting with each other in the way that we did when we were younger. Everyone is involved in their screens and their computer games, and it's just not the same world. And we need to somehow find a way to open up their vision of what it is to be human and to be a part of a community. If we can get to the young people before they become too set, I do believe we would have hope, and I do have a lot of hope for that. But the arts are just, regardless of the fact that it trains people to think outside of the box, which is, I think, an extremely valuable thing to do, for the sake of the tradition that many of us represent, having that connection from generation to generation, from the generation behind us to who we are now and to the ones coming before, all of that is what the arts represent. And this is what we have to be really absolute about expressing and getting people to understand and get on board with.
Deborah, what would you add? And is all the new money that's coming to the Bay Area, is it trickling to the artists at all?
No, it's not.
At
it's
all?
Not. No, it's not. I think that echoing off of what Mahea mentioned, is that I do believe that it has to start at an early age for people to develop an appreciation. So one of the ways that this used to happen was through the schools. Mm-hmm. And so now many schools don't have dance teachers. They don't have music teachers. But, of course, the private schools do because, the money is there. So if budgets continue to be cut, we will have even less. And I think that that is not something that's being considered, something that is sacred and something that needs to be protected, because the value of it, again, just contributes so much to human life. Mm-hmm. As we were talking before, you began the program, just to look at a painting. Just to listen to music, to dance, to move, it takes you outside of your body. And it opens up another space. We had a conversation with some of our students last week. I can't remember a lot of the comments, but some of them were things like, when I dance, I feel amazing. When I dance, I've learned to listen to myself. When I dance, it's made me a better person because I do connect with other people. When I dance, I feel like I'm a team member. So, these are young people. So I think that we also have to have more advocates. People that advocate, for dance. I think that dancers, artists have to also become somewhat political and really advocate, for ourselves. I think that I'm really grateful to the funders that we do have in the Bay Area, because I think that they really are looking out for us in terms of us being able to continue to do what we do. Also, people who produce work, I think that that's, really helpful so that we can continue. So there are a lot of levels. I think working with youth, I think giving people the opportunity to present work is very important, because if you don't see it, how important it is. I would love to see funders talk to other funders. I don't know how we connect with the tech world. Mm-hmm. I don't quite know how, that happens. Maybe getting them to, see a performance. But I do not want to see or be in a world where there's no art. I mean, we need it. It's almost like air. Mm-hmm. And life has just become so busy, almost robotic. I mean, it's like a relief and something that's essential to being human.
Deborah Vaughn is Artistic Director and Co-Founder of Dimensions Dance Theater. Mehealani Uchiyama is Founder and Director of the Mehea Uchiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley. And Wayne Hazard is Executive Director of the Dancers Group. They organized this year's 19th Annual Bay Area Dance Week. It runs through Sunday, and I hope you can check out some of the classes, the workshops, or the performances. Everything is free, and there's more than 600 events taking place, something for everyone. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
There are many ways you can take part in the conversation on Your Call, on the phone, by sending an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org, or by going to the yourcallradio.org website. If you'd like to participate in today's show by phone, give us a call toll-free, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also tweet us at Your Call Radio. Coming up at 11, it's On Point with Tom Ashbrook. Today, the controversy surrounding Ann Coulter's speech at UC Berkeley this Thursday. Tune in. On Point, coming up next hour.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about what is being done to address senior poverty. The number of California residents aged 65 and older living in poverty increased by a whopping 85% between 1999 and 2014. So tomorrow, we're going to talk about what's happening, why this is happening, and what resources are available for seniors. And then on Thursday, it's Bookstore Day. We will have some of our favorite independent bookstore sellers on to talk about the importance of independent bookstores, and we'd love to find out what you're reading. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about dance. Here in the Bay Area, we are very lucky because we're home to one of the largest, most thriving dance communities in the country. We have the largest per capita concentration of dancers in the United States. And this week is Bay Area Dance Week. It's taking place right now. It runs through Sunday, and you can find so many free events, classes, performances, open rehearsals, and lectures. Find the schedule at yourcallradio.org. Wayne Hazard is Executive Director of the Dancers Group. They organize Bay Area Dance Week. Deborah Vaughn is Artistic Director and Co-Founder of Dimensions Dance Theater, a dance company and school that was founded in Oakland in 1972 to promote the knowledge and appreciation of African-derived dance. And Mehealani Uchiyama is Founder and Director of the Mehea Uchiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley, a nonprofit providing a place where students of all ages and abilities can take part in multicultural dance experiences. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you're a dancer or if you are like me and just love to watch modern dance, well, I'll also go dancing, but maybe exactly. Not dance professionally. Talk to us about what you love about dance. I loved, Wayne, I think it was you who describe the experience. Sometimes it can just be quiet and it allows you to contemplate and just watch something beautiful. So if you'd like to talk about what dance means to you, if you have any favorite dancers or dance companies, you can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Joelle in San Francisco. Hi, Joelle. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to be in this beautiful forum. And thank you so much, Rose, for your wonderful program.
Thank you.
I love it. Thank you so much. I am a dancer, but a dilettante dancer. I dance every week on Sundays at Sacred Heart Academy, the old Catholic church at Fell and Fillmore, with Ecstatic Dance. It's ecstaticdance.org. It's a wonderful way to just get out there and move one's body in
whatever way that looks like. And I know that in the past when I've gone to see performances, I myself will want to dance, but I'm not a trained dancer. But I want to be part of it, and it's a wonderful way to take that inspiration after seeing a performance this week or taking part in Bay Area Dance Week and just doing it every week and developing a practice. It's been wonderful. I just turned 50. There's a lot of kids there. There's older people. It's just a wonderful community. So I encourage people to check it out on Sundays at ecstaticdance.org in San Francisco and in Oakland, too. It takes place.
Well, thank you, Joelle, for calling in, and we'll put a link to Ecstatic Dance at yourcallradio.org. Why don't we talk a little bit more about some of the other dance performances that are taking place during Bay Area Dance Week? Deborah, what's exciting for you that's coming up?
Well, a couple of things. We have a workshop that we're offering Wednesday night, and actually, it's partner dancing. And some of the dances that come right out of, like, American history. One is, like, Chicago Stepping. Another is Detroit Ballroom. And then there's going to be a little Lindy Hop also. And that'll be taking place at the Malanga Center at 7 p.m. It'll probably go to about, 10. It'll be like a party where people actually have an opportunity to move and groove and, get a little history behind, like, some of the dances that have come before us. Some of these dances are in the family of bop or swing. And just a different way of moving that is still really cool. I look at them sometimes on YouTube, and we've kind of gotten away from, partnering. It's fun. It's fun. So I urge people to do that. And then this is not in Dance Week, but it's also free. It's the week after Dance Week. Mm-hmm. We have a youth performance that's called The Village Matters. And so we have over 50 performers. And any school, church, any other organization, if they go online, they can look up the information and bring 20 people for free.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's going to be at Castlemount High School in Oakland.
Great. And later in the show, we'll talk about some other performances that you're looking mm-hmm. forward to. And Mejia, what about you? What's exciting you about Bay Area Dance Week in the coming days?
Well, we have a number of workshops that we're doing that is happening at the Center for International Dance. Yesterday, one of our teachers, Miriam Peretz, had a workshop called The Sacred Dance of the Silk Road. But she's also doing a dance arts sanctuary tomorrow from 10 to 11 a.m. at our studio. On Saturday evening, we are doing a performance of classical sacred hula. And this is with my dance company, Halau Ka'ua Tuahine. In fact, I was telling everyone that I've just gotten back from Hilo, Hawaii. I was very lucky to attend the largest event of its kind in the world, the Mary Monarch Hula Competition. And I also did a book reading. I have a book on hula I was invited to do, which brought me to Hilo. But it's a reminder of the sacred underpinnings of what we do. The hula is a classical dance form, which is also one of the world's oldest sacred dance forms. And so we're going to be doing a performance to illustrate what that means. It's not as it used to be. More people are aware of that. But when I first started teaching here close to 35 years ago, most people had no idea that hula was anything other than a tourist entertainment. Mm. And so it's part of our mission to be sure that people understand there's a lot more to it than that.
How did you get interested in hula dance?
Oh, that's such a long story. Oh, my God.
What a great story.
Tell us.
So I was I'm trying to get this encapsulated well. I'm actually born in Washington, D.C., and I was born essentially at the start of the first civil rights movement, at a time where my parents, who had both come up from the South, mm-hmm. Were determined to have me have access to things that they never could. So I was enrolled in the only dance school in the city at that time that took black kids and learned ballet for 9.5 years. By the time I was 11, I got to the height that I am now, very skinny, but just as tall as I am now. And for those, since we're on radio, I'm just under 6 feet tall. And, you know, very beautifully dark. But I noticed at 11 that there was no ballet dancers who looked anything like me. But I loved dancing. It was my sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So I began to look for other things to do so that I wouldn't have to give that up. And at that time, in that place, there was nothing involving African diaspora, mm-hmm. nothing. But what we did find was hula. And I took to it. I loved it. When it came time for me to go to college, I said, Mom, would you mind if I went to the University of Hawaii? So they allowed me to go 6,000 miles away from home at a very young age to attend the University of Hawaii, where I could study hula. Although that wasn't the plan. I was going to get a mm-hmm. conventional degree. I ended up getting degrees in dance ethnology and Pacific Island studies. But they allowed me that freedom to explore mm-hmm. that. So that's basically how I got involved in hula.
It's a great story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
When you were talking about being a black ballerina, you reminded me of Misty Copeland. It has taken so long to ensure that more black dancers are involved in traditional dance, because Misty Copeland became the first black female principal dancer in the American Ballet Theater in New York in 2015, mm-hmm. just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it should be that if this is where your heart is, you should not be restricted because of your phenotype.
Mm-hmm.
It should all be about your integrity and your talent and your drive,
yes, absolutely.
And not your phenotype.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe this is a lot of what all of our work mm-hmm. is about,
mm-hmm.
is to support people in their where their heart leads them
mm-hmm.
and to provide those opportunities that our children and our community deserve.
And there's a great documentary about Misty Copeland and dancers of color. I don't remember the name of it, but you can find it easily online. That is Mehealani Ochiyama. She's director of the Mehea Ochiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley. We're also joined by Deborah Vaughn, artistic director and co-founder of Dimensions Dance Theater, and Wayne Hazard, executive director of the Dancers Group. They organized this year's 19th annual Bay Area Dance Week. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. Today we are talking about Bay Area Dance Week and the power of dance, especially in times like these. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's go next to Patricia in Berkeley. Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Well, I feel very emotional listening to this trio of people, each of whom I adore. And I am a dancer and dance ethnologist and have a great passion since I began choreographing when I was about 5 years old to the trees in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a project that I started in 1989, and I was happy to hear Deborah speaking about children and the value of getting them engaged together and away from their computers, for example. In 1989, I started a project called Our Neighbors Dance Their Dances, a celebration of world dance. And I felt this power of my own neighborhood in Berkeley with people from all over the world. And if I went from house to house learning their dances, there wouldn't be any time for war, and that we would engage with each other in ways that were beautiful and central to a culture. So I began the project in 89 in Daly City, and then for 10 years I did the project in Berkeley. It gave free dance classes to children. I had to write grants every single time I produced the project. And they were held in cooperation with our city's recreation centers where there was no dance in the after-school programs. And then I wanted to do oral histories with the dancers. So listening to Mahaya, what a story. But we all have stories, and some of us are no longer alive to tell those stories of why they came to the Bay Area. So, for example, in the oral history collection, which is just now going to the Bancroft Library at UC Berkeley, and it's going to be digitized and uploaded. So, for example, Nina Fichter, who is no longer alive but was part of starting the Dance Brigade with Chrissy, et cetera, told her story. She told her story because she also was part of instructing in the project, performing in the project, and Taiju Mohibi, who is no longer alive, did Nigerian dance. And there's someone who started the Berkeley Folk Dancers, et cetera. But how do we continue this for children? How do we engage children and adults and community to care about listening to the stories of what drew us to dance, but also to just kick it up and do it?
Thank you so much for calling in, Joelle. That sounds like an incredible project. Deborah?
Well, I think one of the ways that we can tell our stories and also dance, it's difficult, but it's also simple. Like, just do it. When we started our youth program, I mean, we started it with no funding. It's just that we wanted to do it. You know, in terms of myself becoming a dancer, a very unique person came into my life. Her name is Ruth Beckford, and actually she's featured in the Bancroft Library. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, I was maybe 12 or 13, and when I was younger, I wanted to take dance, but my parents thought that music was, you know, more important. So I took, you know, piano for maybe 10 years. And then one day at school, a couple of my friends invited me to come with them to a dance class. And the classes were free. And this was through Oakland Parks and Recreation. And so that was kind of like how I was introduced to dance. Miss Beckford was a protege of Catherine Dunham. So she traveled with Miss Dunham. She helped Miss Dunham write a book on, like, her life. But my influence, I feel like I'm part of, like, that legacy. And that experience as a young person really, you know, made me really more interested in dance and pursue a career in dance. And also, my family, part of my family is from New Orleans. And so, like, that dancing is so much a part of, you know, the culture. So I think that if we could get parents interested, sometimes even if they just dance with their kids, I think if we could get it back in the schools, and for those of us who do have organizations, companies, find a way where you can provide that service for youth. Because now, many of the people who grew up in our Rites of Passage program are coming back to help the company, you know, to help the company, to teach other children. So it can become like full circle, but simple but difficult, we just got to do it. And I was just going to say, so with the passion that many dancers have, I do believe that that will carry us forward and make, you know, the connection.
And maybe start talking about bringing art and dance back to schools, public schools. Mm-hmm. Funded.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes. There are some wonderful programs in the Bay Area. San Francisco Arts Eds Project, Luna Kids Dance over in the East Bay, mm-hmm. does amazing work in and out in the schools and bringing families together. The idea that Deborah was just saying, the power of dancing with your children, you know, mm-hmm. is just, can be so impactful and is something that we need more and more in our society.
Well, thank you again for calling in, Joelle. Let's go next to Melanie in Oakland. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you. You're on the air.
Yes, this is wonderful. I've been very fortunate in my life as a vocal activist and a singer to do live singing for many different dance companies in the Bay Area, including, hello, Mahea.
Hey, Melanie.
How you doing?
I'm well.
I've worked with Ann Bluesens All Dance. I was on the board of directors for Destiny Arts. I have been blessed to work with so many great dancers within this area. It's incredible. And as a singer, to be able to do live dance for dancers, it's such an amazing gift. And I've worked with all different genres, and it's just been really exciting. And it has really added such an incredible dimension to me as a vocalist and a singer and an activist to use my voice in the magic and movement of dance. And I just wanted to thank all of you. And actually, I think the Cultural Heritage Choir did a thing with Dimension years back.
Yes, you did.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Melanie, when will you be performing next?
Well, actually, I'm doing lots of work in a lot of other places. These are difficult times, so I've been doing a lot of community sings all across the country. My whole idea is, and it's the same thing for dance, it's so powerful in the way that it can speak in these times, and I use my voice as a weapon of mass connection. So I want to thank all my dancing family members for allowing me to use my voice with their art and their fire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. I wonder if I saw Melanie recently, because I went to a dance performance and there was a band behind the performers, and it was incredible. It seems like this is happening more regularly now, mm-hmm. the sort of bringing together dance companies with live music and singers.
Well, I mean, with hula and Pacific Island performing arts, there's no separation.
Right.
You
that's how it
you
works.
Know, you really can't. There's no. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. It's as much a part of the performance of dance as the body moving. You have to have the words there. You have to have the live music. So mm-hmm. that's what we do.
Right.
And I just want to interject, Melanie, if you have not had a chance to experience her music, you should be on the lookout for when she does a Bay Area appearance. She's one of the most amazing vocal artists I have ever experienced.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Melanie. I'm looking at her schedule right now, but we will put this up at yourcallradio.org. Oh, here's one. June 21st to the 23rd, Forward Together Leadership Conference in Oakland. This one is in the Bay Area. So thank you again for calling in. And Wayne, we have just a couple more minutes. What got you interested in dance and producing dance?
Oh, my goodness. There's a great article in yesterday's Chronicle that features sort of my life story, so you can go on and look at that there. I think it was about creativity and being in the body. As a kid, you know, I loved running around in the trees and making up stories, and so obviously dance and modern dance and working with the amazing choreographers I have over the years, like Ed Mock and June Watanabe and Joe Good, Margaret Jenkins, and many others who are all creative collaborators and invite their dancers to tell stories and tell their stories, got me interested, and it still gets me interested. I think as my work as somebody who helps people make dances and makes visible dances within the region, that's a creative act. And what we do, whether we're fundraising, whether we're doing stuff on radio, all of that is creativity. And mm-hmm. I don't separate those. I don't separate that. Right now I'm doing a little dance. I feel that movement in my body. I feel the connection to these beautiful women all here. And that is the power of what we do and the specialness of dance and how to participate.
We have an email from Wendy who says, I'd like to give a shout out to my favorite dance class for older dancers. It's an Afro-Caribbean class by Virginia O'Hanlon, Monday and Friday mornings at Mobu Studios on Church Street in San Francisco. She says, older people need to dance.
Oh, yes.
And then in a related comment, and then you can all talk about this, Wayne says, I'd love to give a shout out to someone that deserves it. Katie Bowman is doing exciting work around movement. Her book, Move Your DNA, is amazing. Hope you can give her a show. It's nutritiousmovement.com. Hmm. Now, that sounds interesting.
Yes.
What about just the power of moving the body?
It'll keep you young. You know, it'll help your mind. It will help you connect. It will help everything. We have to keep moving. If the minute you decide that you stop is when you begin to start going away. So
exactly.
Very important.
Well, the body is made to move. So you can't be still. And I believe, and I just know from science, that it improves your body physically on just a cellular level. Not to speak of what it does for the brain. Mm-hmm. So dancing, and I don't think there has to be a stop age. You know, like some people, I used to listen to my parents say, like, "Oh, we're too old to dance," or you know, "We're too old to do this." There is no such thing. You get moved till you can't move anymore.
Exactly. I mean, there's Anna Halperin, who's 98 and still teaching at her studio in Marin, and leading other dancers about being in your body and about that doesn't stop, that there's mm-hmm. always the potential to find the movement that's right for you. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful.
And final thoughts on the best ways people can support art, especially dance, and the work that you all do. Mm-hmm. Deborah?
Well, I was going to say, come and see a performance.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way that, you know, that helps us survive. It helps the audience learn about the work, and hopefully audiences will share it with other people to help, you know, build the base. But I think that's one of the best ways. And then, of course, if you have funds, donate to an organization that you love.
Maybe encourage your company to donate. Mahea?
Going to piggyback on everything that Deborah just said and also ask people to advocate within their school boards mm-hmm. to reinstate dance mm-hmm. and music in the schools.
Absolutely. And following up on that, call your elected officials and advocate for the NEA and the NEH and public broadcasting programs like this that are so important, that you rely on donors as well, and that giving gives you back, and that's what's so powerful about what we do.
Wayne Hazard is executive director of the Dancers Group. They organize the 19th annual Bay Area Dance Week. It runs through this Sunday. I hope you can check it out. Over 600 free events. There's something for everyone there. Deborah Vaughn is the artistic director and co-founder of the Dimensions Dance Theater, a company that was founded in Oakland in 1972 to promote the knowledge and appreciation of African-derived dance. And Mahea Lani Ochiyama is director and founder of the Mahea Ochiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley. Mahea, Deborah, and Wayne, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for all of the gifts that you share with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. May 7th, free performance.
All right. We'll put it on our website. Your Call was produced by Malihe Razazan today. Sadie Gribben is our intern, and David LaTulipe is our studio engineer. You can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Thank you for joining us.